Good evening. Glad to have everyone here. Trust you've come with open hearts, hungry hearts, willingness to hear the Spirit of the Lord. I need someone that is young, has strength, energy, got a big task ahead. Can you pass out these blank sheets of paper? I won't go into a lengthy explanation, but it's very difficult for me to work with a computer that will do what I want it to do. So I couldn't get the handout written, prepared for you that would have been nice to have. So how many know the old-fashioned way to do printouts? Handouts.
Handout.
Pin at work. Ready. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow in prayer as we look to the Lord for a moment as we launch into our study tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are again tonight so utterly thankful for your love. Thankful that you loved us enough to send your Son Jesus to be our sacrifice. We thank you, Father God, that you, in harmony with Jesus, have sent forth your Holy Spirit into the world to dwell in the hearts of men and women and young people, boys and girls, even small children, Lord, who will surrender to you. Learn to say a yes to you. You will take residence. You'll live. You'll work. You will do astounding things beyond the human capacity because you're a holy God who chooses to dwell in these temples of clay. So tonight, Lord, we again come to you acknowledging that's what we are, just a temple of clay seeking to be available to you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to be in our midst, to teach us, to open our understanding, to guide us into all truth, to perfect the character and nature of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, in our hearts and in our lives. Turn our lives and our mouths into a witness of who you are, that you may receive great glory and honor and praise in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We started out Sunday morning just dealing a little bit with the subject of Holy Spirit of God in you. We tried to outline a little bit of who the Holy Spirit is, the divine third person of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Father, God the Son, and he is God the Holy Spirit. We are focusing on the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person who has intellect, emotions, and will. And part of what we got to Sunday morning was just touching the highlights, challenging. It's also true to a very, very large extent in the Old Testament, but not as fully evident in the Old Covenant as it is in New. But when you read the Gospels and you read the life, ministry, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand that Jesus did all of these wonderful works through the anointing of Holy Spirit God who was upon him. John the Baptist said, I didn't know who he was till I saw the angel or the dove descending on him and remaining. For I had been told that the one on whom you see the Spirit descending, he is the Christ, the Messiah. And that's what we saw, and that's when Jesus began his ministry, isn't it? When did the apostles begin to do mighty signs and wonders and works, other than the two brief assignments when Jesus sent them out two by two? When did they start doing it as a part of their daily life? After the day of Pentecost. on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them. And my point in saying that is, as you read through the Gospels, the book of Acts, and all of the epistles, and we stand amazed and astounded, how did all of this happen? By God's Holy Spirit in yielded vessels. What is God's will for the Church of Jesus Christ, the year 2017 and beyond, until he returns? To be his witnesses, doing signs, wonders, mighty deeds in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that mankind is persuaded that Jesus is the Christ. He wants to manifest himself gloriously in our lives. So tonight I'm just picking up and shifting just a little bit, and I'm talking about seeking the Holy Spirit of God to fill our lives. Again, we just say it again and again and again because it's vital. The Holy Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity. Say, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, over the years, many people have seen the Holy Spirit of God as an influence, just an external force that moves, comes and goes in waves, and just does whatever is to be done at a given time, situation. Some have seen the Holy Spirit of God as an object that they possess and master and tell what to do, when to do it. And I just don't want to bog down on it, but I do want to say the way we see God the Holy Spirit is the way we serve God. And I could just expand that and say the way we see God is the way we serve him. If we see him as something that just is there, can either be tolerated, ignored, or endured, we're not going to be very responsive to him, are we? If we see him as an object that we are in control of to do for me when and what I want, we may seek signs, wonders, miracles, but not have very much of a spiritual life. But when we see Holy Spirit God is a part of a pure, holy Godhead, as holy as God the Father, God the Son, as pure as God the Father, God the Son, as compassionate as God the Father, God the Son, as loving, as corrective, as instructive. How many more attributes you want to go on down? We've got to see he is not just something. He is a person to be fully honored, worshipped, wooed, adored. Oh yeah, there's one other word. What is that other word? Obeyed. How many love that word obey? Did you just embrace the word obey? Oh, I'm so glad I get to obey today. Once had a young man in my Bible study. He says, I hate that word obey. And he would just get riled up every time we tried to lead a Bible study and talk about the word obey. Need I say, it wasn't long he was back in prison. Obey is fundamental to our walk in Christ Jesus. Obey the Word, obey Jesus, obey the Father, obey the Holy Spirit. If we don't obey them, what are we doing? We're relegating them to our servants. We are servants of the Most High God. And we are to be in His control, under His guidance, His leadership going forward. Do want to say of the Holy Spirit, He is the ultimate perfect gentleman. Holy Spirit of God will present to us truth. He will instruct us in that still small voice when we're in the Word and in prayer. He will extend an invitation to us, and He'll say, come with me. Join me. Let me work in you and through you and make you an instrument of blessing to others. But He will never, ever, ever make you do anything untoward or force you to do what you are not willing to do. I mentioned Sunday, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was on the annual Jewish feast called Pentecost. Hence, the term that is used in Christendom around the world, Pentecostals, that usually has to do with the people who identify with the manifestations and gifts of the Holy Spirit, quite often primarily focusing on the ability to speak in another language. And I just say that as a little bit of a backdrop, and again, I don't want to go too far down this little rabbit trail, but just to throw out that Pentecostals have gained peculiar reputations over the years for doing things that are a little bit eccentric and extreme. And saying, it was the Holy Spirit made me do it. Pentecostals have been known to pick up snakes and play with them in church. See how good their faith is. You heard that? It happens. Pentecostals have been known to get very excited. I had a dear sister not too long ago tell me, oh, my nephew is such a wonderful Pentecostal preacher. He got so excited he was running the backs of the pews. I said, what? Yeah, he was running the backs of the pews. I said, oh. Didn't want to go too far. But let me just throw something out real quick. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 are for edification, comfort, and correction. You understand where I'm going with this? Now we can go on and on and on and on and on of things that have been done that aren't necessarily manifestation of a fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes more of a reaction to a wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, now it gets real ticklish, tight, walking this little tightrope. But often, people who sense the Holy Spirit of God calling them to a correction, to a surrender, to a yieldedness, would rather react physically than to say, yes, Lord. And so there's sometimes a lot of physical reaction to the presence of God's Holy Spirit rather than surrender of the heart and life to yield enough to let the Spirit of the Lord come and work and do His mighty deeds. So I don't want to wander down that road too far because I want to come back and get very focused and very direct tonight. And I want to talk about Holy Spirit of God in you. Now, you have your pencils, papers. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Have you heard that before? In practical terms, what does that mean? Okay. It's his home.
Surrender.
You know, I don't know, some of you married men, have you ever said, I'm the king of the castle?
No.
No, or never, Rob? Better not. But that's the old macho image, remember? And I bring it up carefully just to say, in the most holy and reverent way, if Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in us, He is the royal, holy, divine King of our lives. Very holy, very righteous, very perfect in all His ways, isn't He? He wants to reside in our lives because what He is what He wants to bring us into. He is holy. Was Jesus holy? Was Jesus sinless?
Yes.
Is the Holy Spirit holy?
Yes.
Is He sinless?
Yes.
Are we holy?
No.
Are we sinless?
No.
Not by ourselves, only by the imputed righteousness and holiness that He gives us. And when does He give us that holiness and righteousness? As we surrender, as we yield, as we enthrone Him, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. At redemption, He gives it, but in a progressive daily walk, isn't it? He wants to fill us more and more with His holiness, with His righteousness, with His purity, that our lives become totally distinct from those of the ungodly round about us. Not because I'm goody two-shoes and I know how to do everything right, but because I've learned to say yes a little bit. And I want to keep learning to say yes more and more and more to Holy Spirit so He can rule and reign in us and bring us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 is a scripture verse that says, don't you know that your body is a temple or sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. That little expression, you have received it from God, you are not your own, opens another door. It's a huge door. Take many long hours to exhaust it, but it leads us to death to self. Living the crucified life, dying to my will, my goals, my ambitions, surrendering to God's purposes and plans in my heart and in my life. Which brings us to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It expresses that and it says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. In this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is showing us that in redemption, in inviting the Holy Spirit to have His place of residency in our hearts and in our lives, our self is being replaced by the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. And we all have to stop and look at ourselves quite frequently along the journey of life and asking, how true is this verse of me? How accurate is it to say, it's no longer me at all, it's just Jesus, Holy Spirit of God, living in me and through me. Very challenging, isn't it? That's a passage of Scripture that requires quite frequently just stopping and going back to it and start praying and meditating and saying, now, Holy Spirit, you know the truth. You know where I am on this journey. Is it 5% accurate? Is it 25%? See, God's Word is 100% accurate, but it's our application that we're talking about, isn't it? Our appropriation that we're talking about. How much am I appropriating the gift of the Holy Spirit to let the character and nature of Jesus Christ have its rightful position in my life? And then let's go down to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Again, the Apostle Paul taking us along the spiritual journey of self being removed, Christ being enthroned by the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, 3. Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. If we let Christ crucify us, who's going to raise us up to live in glory? Same glory that raised Jesus from the dead, which was the Spirit of God, wasn't it?
Same power.
Same power. Same gift. Same anointing. So oftentimes you're going to see as we're reading, what we read as a power, or as we did here, or a glory, is another way of referring to the actual person of the Holy Spirit of Christ, isn't it? The Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that does it as we walk with him. Okay, Ephesians 5, 18. The Apostle Paul again looking at lifestyles of the unregenerate and comparing it to where God is wanting to take us, says, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Spirit. And that expression, be filled with the Spirit, is in the Greek tense that tells us it could also be read, keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. How many have a favorite glass around your house, water bottle, coffee cup? Have any of those items around your house? How often do you fill them? Just more than once a day. Frequently. Frequently, isn't it? Isn't that a wonderful picture of what God wants to do for us? Have you discovered that it doesn't take very long for life to get under your skin and disrupt the presence of the Lord in your life? That's just life. Happens to us all. So many different ways life gets to us. And we can go on off in the flesh and just mutter and complain and grumble and grouch and snort around and stomp around and do all kinds of stuff that we regret later. Or we can stop and say, Lord, I'm getting in my flesh. My flesh is taking over. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you. Temptations arise. Old habits, old thoughts come out of nowhere and blindside us. Sometimes even while we're reading the Word. Sometimes even while we're praying. Horrible old thoughts of what we were in the past in the bondage of our sin just rise up and slap us in the face. And we can just say, oh, well, that's the way I was. That's the way I am. That's the way I'll always be. Or we can say, oh God, I thank you so much for the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed me clean from that. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who breaks the power of sin. You're the one that sets me free, and that thought is no longer me. That's what I was. Today I am a child of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit of God, I'm giving you rule and authority right now. Come, fill me, flood me, lift me up out of this morass that the enemy wants to drag me down into, and let me rise up in the wings of your Holy Spirit to go forth and live today in overcoming victory. That's the work of the Holy Spirit for us. See, it's not something mystical that's way off there, way out in outer space, that makes us do weird and crazy things. It's the presence of a living God that helps us live day by day in the victory that was purchased for us by Jesus Christ on the cross. And so it's good for us sometimes just to talk to ourselves. Say, I am a child of King. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, you are my strength today over every temptation, over every weakness of my flesh. You are my strength to be overcomer in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to shout? Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. 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 God's good to us. God's good to us. God's good to us. Right now, I want us to just take about a few minutes, just where we are, just sit and thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that He has removed our old flesh, our old nature, our old sin, and He is dwelling in us by His Holy Spirit. Just welcome Holy Spirit into your heart, into your life, into your consciousness more and more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this wonderful gift. Thank you for this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the strength of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to be filled and refilled and filled and refilled again day by day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are removing our old flesh, our old thought patterns, our old habits. You are filling us with the habits and mind and strength and power of the Lord Jesus Christ and of your divine being. You are filling us, Holy Spirit. You are so welcome. You are so welcome, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we worship you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Rule in my life. Rule in our lives. Teach us and train us in the ways of righteousness for your praise, for your glory, for your honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are perfecting the righteousness of Christ in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving us your comforter, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Now continue to teach us and guide us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next series of thoughts I want to look at are vital evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In most Pentecostal churches, you think, oh, we're going to be invited to seek baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues. Just for the record, last month marked 50 years I was ordained with the Assemblies of God, which is the largest Pentecostal denomination in the world. I was born in a Assemblies of God church, raised in an Assemblies of God church, went to Assemblies of God college, pastored Assemblies of God churches, and traveled as a Bible teacher in Assemblies of God churches for over 52 years. So I think you know where I'm coming from. In saying that, I want to say I believe very much in what the scriptures have to say about the place and the power and the purpose of the gift of speaking in other tongues. But the gift of other tongues is not the only evidence that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that He is enthroned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe with all my heart, if we will pay attention to these things that I'm going to set forth here in a few moments, there will be plenty of opportunity for the ecstatic gifts of speaking in tongues and of prophecies and of miracles, of healings, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, exercise of distinguishing between the nature of spirits, etc., so forth. Because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no limit to what God can do in us and through us whenever He wills. Because we've developed the habit of saying what?
Yes.
Oh. Obedient. Saying, yes, I will do it. I'll let You use me that way, Lord. And He wants to use us in ways that we often can't even imagine that we would ever be used. And so I want to focus on some of the other things that the scriptures say about the manifestation of God's Holy Spirit. And first of all, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Very familiar passage. How many use some of this passage in your wedding vows? Love is. I'm not going that far. I'm just going to take the first three verses. It's very important. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that there is one Holy Spirit who gives all of the various enablements to do kingdom of God work through believers, and it lists nine different enablements that are set forth. Sometimes they're called gifts, sometimes they're called manifestations, but they are Holy Spirit of God enablements to do things beyond our natural ability or knowledge. It's God working through us, and we're just a vessel in His hand that He is using for His glory. Chapter 14, the Apostle Paul goes into a very lengthy discussion of what is the most important or valuable gift, and especially focuses on the distinction between speaking in another tongue in a worship service and bringing forth a word of prophecy or a prophetic word. Never belittling either one, but simply exalting that in a gathering, a prophetic word has more impact and power than a gift in tongues unless the tongue is interpreted. And that has to be a flowing together. But in between, he's talking of a greater gift than any of the manifestations or enablements. What is that gift?
Love.
Oh, love. And it is the same love that John speaks of in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so what? And he is calling us to that level of love. And so Paul says here, if I speak human or angelic languages but do not have love, I'm a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I have what? Nothing. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. He is saying love of God and love of fellow man is what adds value to any of the things that we consider to be signs of really being spiritual. And so we're called to come to ask God to fill us with his love. The love that would constrain us to proclaim Christ to the unbeliever. The love that would constrain us to do things that just demand all our strength, energy, and concentration because we want to bring others into a fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if we do all of that, but we don't really love, if we're just looking to make a name, looking to have the biggest church in town or in the state or in the nation or in the world or whatever, if it's not motivated by love, it has no value. And so he says the first thing is seek love. And God is love, isn't he? Now, if there's a triune Godhead, if I say God is love, am I stretching it to say Jesus is love? Would I be stretching it to say Holy Spirit is love? They're all the same, aren't they? Different tasks, different ways of showing love of God to a lost world, but they're the same. And so God's saying, this is what I'm reaching for in those who take my name. I want to impart this love, this wonderful love that exceeds any other love that we as humans and mortals can know is the love of God. And he wants us to make us communicators or expressors of that love as he has his rightful place in our heart. So, I would say love of the Spirit must be evident in us to say I'm Spirit-filled. Okay. Christ's divine nature needs to become evident in me in order to say I am filled with the Spirit. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. His divine power, or Spirit, has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us every great and precious promise, By these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature. Isn't that a nice goal? Share in the divine nature. And in so doing, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. So he is saying now, for this very reason, as you are entering in to being filled with the divine nature of Jesus Christ in your spiritual walk, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. Goodness with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with endurance. Endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. There are seven steps there that he is saying, seven items, seven very wonderful ways of living. And just that study alone, if you go home and get into your concordance and your dictionary and flesh those out and follow through, gets to be very powerful Bible study. What is God making of me? Where is the Holy Spirit taking me? He's developing the very character and nature of Jesus. But you notice what it says? What are we supposed to do? Sit back and let it happen? Hope it happens? What does it say we're supposed to do? Oh, make every effort. Wow, that sounds like work, doesn't it? It sounds like a commitment on my part. Sounds like a conscious effort that I need to say, these are qualities of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want them in my life. I want them dominant qualities in my life. And so I'm going to spend time in the Word, in disciplines, letting the Word of God dwell in me, seeking out what made me go off that way when I was supposed to be going this way, and bringing whatever took me that way before the throne and saying, Lord, I need you to get rid of that in my life. That's part of putting to death the old man, putting him to death, fighting that battle. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many want to be fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of Jesus? So that's why we're pursuing Holy Spirit. Be my teacher, be my helper, be my guide. Okay? So those are some of the divine characteristics that become evidence that we are full of the Holy Spirit. I dread saying this. But I, as an employee of the Ark Encounter, happened to wear my Ark shirt somewhere coming to or from work. One of the stores here locally, and I had a dear clerk say, you know, visitors at the Ark are the grouchiest people I've ever had come into this store. And that hurt. That hurt. Because that's not what that is all about, is it? We're all there saying, let Jesus live through us and shine through us. And we pray, oh Lord, please let our guests at least be civil. They're in town. Give Jesus a good name. But then I've also heard it said from someone that worked at the same store, oh, I dread the Sunday morning after church crowd coming in here. So it's not just those strangers from out of town. It's all of us good church-going people here in Grant County. Be impatient, grouchy, demanding when we go into the stores. See what I'm talking about? That's not where Jesus wants us, is it? He wants us to bring in a glow and a glory and a sense of love. So, The Holy Spirit fruit is to replace our flesh nature. Galatians 5, again, the previous verses before what I read are a litany of what our flesh is like, and I won't take time to read all of what our flesh is like, but what does the Holy Spirit want to put into us? It says, Galatians 5:22, and some of you can quote this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. So you see, there's a pattern there, isn't there? There's a pattern. Divine character. Manifest presence of Jesus in our lives. That's not something that we put on with our Sunday go-to-meeting best when we get ready to come to church. It's in us. It's in the everyday. It's when you're out in the yard in your grubbiest grubbies. Mud up to your neck. That's what I had Saturday, planting trees in my backyard. Oh, I got in the house, looked at those clothes, and I said, oh, those ever come clean? But Jesus wants to be in us when we're that. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, he wants his glory shining through us. Manifesting the glory of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, so that people see Jesus. And that is for a boldness to proclaim Jesus to an outside world. Acts 4:31, after James and John, or Peter and John, had been in prison for healing the lame man and been rearrested after they'd walked out in the middle of the night. Just walked right out of jail in the middle of the night. So they got rearrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, were threatened, all those good things. And it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness, because they were full of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask a real delicate question. Is one of the reasons why we fail to witness very much for Jesus the fact that we are aware of how little of the presence of the Holy Spirit we manifest in our day-to-day lives? Is there any possibility of that? Did you know that the average Pentecostal believer who professes to be filled with the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues on a relatively regular basis has never led a single soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? That is so contrary to the message of the Word of God. So contrary to the Spirit of God, the promise. Jesus said, and I read it Sunday morning, Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. What makes us effective witnesses for Jesus if it isn't his divine character manifest in love? All the fruit of the Spirit. All the control of the Holy Spirit. So that old flesh nature isn't there, just like that that chip on the block that's ready to just go flying off at any second, but that the sweet presence of Jesus goes out of our lives day by day by day. Isn't that the way we open the door, the conversation, to talk about the redeeming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? I think God wants to use all believers much more in the work of bringing souls into the knowledge of Jesus, if he can have his divine nature flowing through us. Do you see what I mean? These are the fundamentals, and they will lead to the ecstatic outflow of all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get to those in just a second for a little bit. Let's take a few more minutes. Let's just bow our hearts and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to change my character. I need you to fill me with your divine nature. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Holy Spirit, you see us. You know our weaknesses. You know our shortcomings. You know where we come way, way, way short of where you want us to be. Lord, we're not here to promote something that is going to be contrary to your heart, to your plan, your purpose, or your will, but you have declared it is your will for everyone who names the name of Jesus to come under the sovereign rule of your blessed Holy Spirit, to let the character of Jesus, let the fruit of love, the compassion of Christ rule and reign in our hearts. And so, Lord, we just take a moment, just a moment, to pause, to think about it, to look inward, to ask, Lord, what keeps me from being a bold proclaimer of your redeeming grace? What hinders my testimony? What hinders me being instrumental in bringing others to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Lord, is it my conduct? Is it my mouth? Is it my temper? Is it my wrong values? Lord, you know what it is in each one of us. And we want to bring our flesh under the authority of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Heavenly Father, stir in us tonight a desire, a hunger, and a thirst that we will give ourselves to make every effort to be filled up with your divine character, your divine nature, to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, Lord, to speak in the Spirit by our actions. Holy Spirit, use us. Holy Spirit, we don't want to be those people that show up in the store after worship service or in a restaurant or wherever it is being demanding, cantankerous, and hard to deal with. Lord, when we leave the house of the Lord and we go out, we want to go out with the praise of Jesus in our lives. We want to go forth with an anointing of the Holy Spirit that makes the love of Jesus radiate out of our lives. And Lord, you can do that with us. It's not some magical thing. It's not something for just the great spiritual superstars, but it's something that you desire to do in the heart and life of every individual that says, Jesus Christ is my Lord. So we need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to transform our thinking. We need you to reshape our vision. Lord, lift our eyes to you. Help us to see you in every circumstance. Oh, Spirit of God. Spirit of God, do something in us. Do something through us. Do something for us to that makes us your ambassadors, ambassadors of light and of life and of power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Just want to spend a little bit of time talking on the fact that as we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, we receive Holy Spirit of God abilities. I alluded to them a few moments ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. First Corinthians 12:4, these are Holy Spirit of God abilities. The terms that we're using is gifts that's read in the scriptures that we're reading. It says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of languages, to another interpretation of languages, but one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. What makes the Holy Spirit willing to give you something? One of these gifts, one of these abilities? Could it be the habit of saying yes? Could it be the habit of cultivating the character and nature of Jesus? Could it be living in the love of God towards God the Father and our fellow man? They're not just random things that God hands out just to try to make Mr. Smith over here look much more spiritual than Mr. Jones. God's not interested in that, is he? That wasn't what we touched on it Sunday. There is no competitive spirit between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at all. In heaven's creation and all the ruling and reigning in heaven, no competitive spirit. God's desire is that all men come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so his desire then includes saying, I want to take each individual who has named the name of Jesus, put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and fill them up with my Holy Spirit, enabling them to be proclaimers of God's redeeming grace and his supernatural power to meet and supply every need the human being can encounter in the course of life. God doesn't want us to have to struggle under the burden of anything all the days of our life. He wants to life us with all of his Spirit and grace and make us overcomers. The Apostle Paul had the audacity to say that now that we're in Christ, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. I mean, that's something awesome when you get a hold of it. A conqueror, you think, is just that one that is really superior in strength and ability to wage a warfare or a battle or an athletic game. But you know what is really wonderful? When a conqueror has grace of humility and lowliness. Doesn't taunt, doesn't boast, doesn't exalt, I'm better than you are. And we're made to be filled up with the Spirit of Christ, which is a spirit of humility and lowliness. A spirit of giving ourselves over for others. Living in the victory of Christ, but pouring out our lives for the lost, the needy around us. And that's where God is wanting to take us. So just read these nine manifestations or enablements that the Holy Spirit gives. And believe me, there are times when we need those things in our lives. We need all of these gifts, manifestations, enablements to be ministered to us or to strengthen us through different circumstances in our lives. Second focus is in chapter 12, verse 6. Romans 12, verse 6. Paul again is saying, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. If giving, in giving. With generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy with cheerfulness. So those are just a few more gifts. I thought of including what is said in Ephesians chapter 4 about the fivefold ministry that are all gifts, the pastor, prophet, teacher, apostle, pastor, prophet, teacher, apostle, what's the other one? Come on, you guys.
Evangelists.
Okay. Those are also gifts to the church for the perfecting of the saints, aren't they? So, it didn't go that far. But I just wanted to share these. And there are other passages that maybe we could look at to again grasp the fact we are a body of believers. We vary in number if each service, sometimes Sunday morning, hardly any open chairs, sometimes Wednesday night, hardly any filled chairs. But we're a group of people that come together. We're all here worshiping, aren't we? Are you an island living this life all by yourself? What place does that guy have in that guy's life? Does that gal have in that gal's life? Encouraging, edifying, correcting, empathizing, interceding, loving, blessing, correcting. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh. But you see what God is saying to us as a body? If this guy has very little of the Holy Spirit in him, he needs this guy to have a little more to encourage him, right? If I have very little of the Holy Spirit working in me, don't I need some brothers to come around me once in a while? And it just is reciprocal, back and forth, isn't it? And God's plan and program and picture is that we are all coming together, saying, Lord, we're here gathered. We want all of you to fill all of us so that we can minister to all of the rest of the body and then also get out of these walls. At work, restaurant, grocery store, play activity, and be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing life where we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit. That's what God is working in us. So, one of the prayers that you need to pray as you look at these various scriptures that I've read is, Lord, I am willing to let you use me any way you choose, any time you choose, any place you choose, to anyone you choose. Make that a prayer, a regular prayer. Lord, I'm not just a sponge sitting here soaking and soaking and soaking and soaking, because if I just soak and soak and soak, I'm going to get sour and sour and sourer. Amen? That's why sometimes people... Anywhere? Anyone? What was all of it now? Any way? Anywhere? Whenever, however, whoever. This is another way of running it through. But just to say, God, I'm taking off the restrictions. And what I was going to say is, too often the church has sat and soaked and soured so that when we go out of church, we're the grumpiest people in town. That's not God's plan. He said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. And that, get the stream going. We learn to be relaxed, ministering here by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and carry it with us wherever we go. Now, seeking the Holy Spirit of God to fill our lives. Just make a few quick points. As you go into your place of prayer, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, know my anxieties, my anxious ways, see if there is anything offensive in me. And I put in brackets, show me all offensive ways in me. God doesn't have to see, he already does. But we don't, do we? So we have to pray, God, show me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Make that a regular prayer. Often coming before the throne of grace, beginning, Lord, I want more of your Holy Spirit. But if I want more of God's Holy Spirit, I've got to get my flesh out of the way. I've got to get the sin out of my heart. I've got to get the wrong attitudes gone under the blood of Jesus Christ. Secondly, set our minds on things above. Galatians 3:2, set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. Remember, everything in this world is passing away. One minister taught me to say, everything around us is an illusion. It's not real. Only Jesus and eternity are real, that last forever. Yet we fight and fight and fight to get and hold on to. So it says, get our affections on what is above, what is eternal. Third, offer our lives as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Spiritual worship is saying, I'm dead. This body is yours. Holy Spirit, use it. Holy Spirit, do your work through me. And then we pray for the Holy Spirit of God to take his rightful place in our lives. Let me say this very carefully. Seek the person of the Holy Spirit. Do not seek an experience. We have made a habit of making experiences our idol and calling them evidence of spirituality. If we are full of the Holy Spirit, are we going to be spiritual? If we have an experience, does that really make us spiritual? Not necessarily, does it? You can have an experience, and it doesn't last, it doesn't change. I went to a great revival a number of years ago that was known nationally and around the world where great things were happening. By the time Jan and I were able to attend, it had been going on for nearly 3 years. And the Lord met Jan and I in an individual way, very wonderfully, very powerfully. But one of the things that came to disturb me as I was at this big revival, renown, is one of the manifestations was that of falling out or being slain in the spirit. And I didn't notice it so much the first night or the second night, probably not even the third night, but about the fourth night, I started saying, what's going on here? What's happening? It'd be great preaching, great worship, extended prayer times. And what I saw starting to happen repeatedly is, say, for instance, on this side of the very large sanctuary, there would be a group of 50 to 100 young people that would be standing in the aisles waiting to be prayed over, and they would all fall, slain in the spirit. Ministers would move to that side of the church, and they'd start praying for people, and these 50 to 100 people would get up, run around the back of the sanctuary, pushing older people out of their way, stepping on people, just forcing their way into the front, get prayed all over again, and they would fall out under the Holy Spirit again. Ministers would be praying over here again in another place, and they would get up and they'd come down another aisle, pushing people out of the way, pushing to the front. Yeah, it was a great experience. But it was not manifesting at all the Spirit of Christ Jesus in any way, shape, or form. It was we were running after the fun of falling under the Spirit. We can do that with anything. We seek the person, Holy Spirit, you. Our eternal, holy God, I need you in my life. I need all of you in all my life. And we make it a profound cry and prayer daily. God, I need more of you. Lord, you see where I've been struggling. I confess it to you. I repent of it. Lord, I want you to make me so sick of that that I'd never go back there again, and I want you to fill me with your holy character, your holy nature. We make this a profound, ongoing prayer, and we keep saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome. I am expressing, I not only welcome you, I desire you, I covet you, I am desperate for you to have your rightful place in my heart and in my life. And then we can say like Joseph, I will not sin against God. Holy Spirit is in me. And he is my strength and my power, and I will not sin against God. We will stumble here and there, long life, but when we do, quickly repent of all that you know. Repent with all your heart and just turn back to the Lord. Keep turning back to the Lord. One thing I want to say in closing is keep in focus. You're in a life journey. It's a life journey. After 52 years in full-time ministry, I still got a lot of growing to do. I may be retired from full-time pulpit work, but I'm not retired from pursuing Jesus more and more every day of my life. There's more of Jesus than I can ever lay hold of, so we keep going after him. Perfection is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. He'll perfect us if we make ourselves available. Just keep going. So we present our lives to him. He will be faithful to lead us to the next level. And then the next level. And then the next level. And then the next level. And the level after that. You get the picture? You ever want to start counting the circles in a redwood tree? That's what God's got to do with us. Keep growing us. Keep growing us. Circle by circle, layer by layer, he's growing us. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We magnify your name, Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God, we worship you. We declare your majesty, your glory, your wonder. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Great and mighty, wonderful God, wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus, we worship you. We praise you. We adore you. We bless you. We thirst for more of you, Jesus. We long for more of you, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, work your work in us. Work your kingdom work. Do your kingdom work deep in our hearts, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, do your kingdom work. Do your transforming work. Holy Spirit, I pray, birth in us a vision of what you have in store for us that is so much larger than anything we've ever thought of or imagined. Lord, let us get a vision of what your Holy Spirit can do inside of us, individually, collectively, as we learn to yield to you, to exalt you, to pursue you, to pray for these evidences of the Spirit of God alive in us, the enablements that you will give us, the ability to go forth in the name of Jesus and to do kingdom of God work in the highways and byways of Grant County. Holy Spirit, give us the confidence to know that you will bring us alongside of souls that are in such deep bondage to sin that they think that there is absolutely no hope for them in the world. But you will give us a word of faith. You will give us a divine unction. And you will use us to speak the words of Jesus Christ with compassion, with deep, deep love, with an authority, so that that word goes in and pierces the very core of the heart and leads the individual to cry out to Jesus. And then we'll watch you set them free. We'll watch you restore their lives. We'll watch you build up that which was broken down and cast aside, that will become a glorious testimony to the power and might of a living God in the hearts of his people. O Holy Spirit, as we go to our quiet place, early in the morning, early in the evening, on our lunch break, even as we're just driving along to or from work or errands, let your Holy Spirit open our understanding to what is in store for us. As we love you, as we pursue you, as we seek you, O Holy Spirit of God, we cry out to you tonight. We confess we're nowhere near where we feel that we should be, and where we know we can be. But we're asking you, Lord, take us by the hand. Lead us forward, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see you working in our lives. Open our understanding to believe that this frail vessel that I call my body can be filled with you and used by you and for you to your praise and glory. Do that for each one of us, Jesus. Do it for each one of us, Lord. O Holy Spirit, keep calling, keep wooing, break down our resistance, take away our unreasonable fears of you. Fill us with a holy awe of you. O Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, do your work. Do your work. Lord, I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters. O Jesus, strengthen us. Make us so much more of what you will for us to be. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus, bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, we do just commit ourselves individually. We commit this body to your grace, to your mercy. We pray, Father God, your Holy Spirit will stir up these thoughts. Lord, don't allow them to just be another Bible study, another Wednesday night. Oh, I did my duty. I went and I sat through that long, tedious teaching. Oh, God, Holy Spirit, draw us to these verses. Draw it to these precious promises. Stir faith to lay hold of these promises in each one of our lives. And shock us with what you will do, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah.